The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. Psalm 19:9. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous before ever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119, 142. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it and nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should reverence Him. Ecclesiastes 3, 14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it and nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should reverence Him. Ecclesiastes 3, 14. And Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were formed, or didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 90, verse 2. Will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to John chapter 3, verse 36. We'll give time for our children to move to their class and for our instrumentalists here to take their seats. John chapter 3, verse 36. May I say by way of introduction that the passage of Scripture we're looking at today is a familiar passage to all of us. And yet many times we read the Scripture and we do not let it sink in. So I'm going to ask you today to really think with me, because I believe that we have some things from the Word of God that we really, really need to hear. And not only hear with our ears, but hear with perception and comprehension and understanding. I want to say by way of introduction that each person in this auditorium and each person hearing my voice will live on somewhere forever. When you leave this life, it's not the end. You leave this life, you will be continuing to live for 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, and many, many more. Just by saying that ought to make you think. And that is that you are an eternal soul. And upon your death, when the heart beats the last time, when you breathe your last breath, you'll be absent from this body, and as a believer, you'll be at home with the Lord, and you'll be with Him forever and forever and forever. That's life that lasts forever. And if I cannot do anything else today than to remind you that this is such an important thought, eternal life, life eternal, it'll make a difference in your life from this point on. Now, I didn't intend to preach my first sermon before the prayer, but we'll pray and then I'll preach the second sermon. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today. We're thankful that you've given us this magnificent book, the Word of God. We're aware of the fact that life on the earth for all of us is really extremely short. And so help us to think in terms, seriously think in terms of eternity.
We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Over these past sessions, we've been dealing with the members of the Godhead. Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3. On the screen, you now see the three members of the Godhead, the Trinity. Deity 1, Deity 2, and Deity 3. We have an emphasis upon God, our Heavenly Father, the pre-existent Christ who became the existent Christ, who is the eternal Christ, and the magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit. We call this the essence of God, the characteristics of the members of the Godhead. Each one of these members, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, have the same characteristics and same attributes. You've seen this many, many times. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, and veracity. There's not a person here today, I'm fully persuaded that if you've been here any period of time, you're able to give me the characteristics of the members of the Godhead, the essence. I believe that each one of you could name these, and I'm giving you a lot of credit today, so I trust that all of you are making an A while I'm saying this morning. The members of the Godhead have the same characteristics and the same attributes, and so we have those listed. All of us are aware of the fact that there are many more characteristics than these, but this is a good way for us to get started, analyzing what God is like, analyzing what Jesus Christ is like, analyzing what the Holy Spirit is like. A point of time in history, the Lord Jesus Christ was born as God in the flesh. This is what is known as the incarnation, the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. We see when we look at Jesus Christ as the God-man, he has all the characteristics of man. He has all the characteristics of God. In other words, when Jesus Christ became the God-man, he did not lose the characteristics of deity. So we have deity and humanity in one. So we have deity as God in the flesh, body, soul, and spirit. Over on this side, we have the deity characteristics, which I've just named for you, and you've seen them. I will not recapitulate at this moment. All of us are aware of the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus Christ came on the earth as the God-man, the man side, body, soul, and spirit. When you were born physically alive and spiritually dead, which means that you were born with body and soul. When you were born again, accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God worked the miracle of salvation, regeneration, and you were moved from dichotomous to trichotomous. You were moved from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. How fantastic this is. You'd say, do you enjoy telling this? I surely do. And I want you to understand that there's a reason why I repeat, because I'm fully persuaded that the more I repeat, the more you're able to comprehend. And when you understand it, the more you hear it, the more you will appreciate the information. On the screen now, you see a timeline. We have the age of the Gentiles. We have the age of the millennium. We have the eternal ages past. We have the eternal ages future. We have the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age where we now live, the millennium, and the eternal ages future. If you'll notice, please, right here, we have an emphasis upon what is known as the hypostatic union. The word hypostatic simply is made up of two words, hupo, which is a prefix or a preposition, and stasis, which means to stand. And so hupo means understanding, under the standing of the Heavenly Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ became the God-man in the age of Israel because he was born in the age of Israel. We have a period of time known as the hypostatic union from 4 B.C. to 30 A.D. I trust that you're hearing this and it's making an impression upon your mind. Jesus Christ came on the scene in the age of Israel, died in the age of Israel, was resurrected in the age of Israel. And then, as all of us know, that was the beginning of the time called the church age, the intercalated period, the age in which you and I now live. You and I now live. We're living in the age of grace. Over the period of last few weeks, we've taken a look at these characteristics. We've taken a look at sovereignty. We've taken a look at righteousness. We have some of that in the insert as a bulletin today. We've taken a look last Wednesday night at the subject of justice. Some of you commented about the fact, one particular person commented about the fact that they had attended seminary and they did not there hear the information that was given last Wednesday night. If you had to miss last Wednesday night, I would encourage you to take last Wednesday night's information and listen to it attentively and carefully. We have people who do that. And I'm always appreciative of the fact that early on Thursday morning, my phone is going to ring or a message is going to come to me that lets me know that someone has already heard the previous night's session. And I always look forward to hearing the comments that are made. So I just want you to know that if you didn't hear last Wednesday nights, if you were not able to be here, I would encourage you to take a hear of the point of justice. Today, we're looking at eternal life, and we're looking at the subject of love. Now, with that thought in mind, would you go with me to John 3:36? I'm giving you time to look this up in your Bible. It's important for you to take a look at it. I'm putting this on the screen. You have it in the insert in your bulletin today. So I just want to remind you that there's absolutely no excuse today for you not being able to comprehend the information. The insert has been placed in your bulletin. I would encourage you to take this, if you can't see it on the screen, and look at it very carefully because we're going to analyze this magnificent verse. It says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." You're looking at your insert. Let me tell you that the first little word that we find in the original language is an article, and it is ho, H-O, a little article, they. The second word that you see in the scripture here is the word pistuoton. It is from pistuo. And you'll see that the way it's used is P-I-S-T-E-U-O. That's the root. And the way it's used is P-I-S-T-E-U-O-N. It is not necessary, and I cannot go through all of these individual words today, but I do want you to be able to see the power of each of these Greek verbs. And you'll notice that it says, the one believing. The word is pistuo, and it is a present active participle, nominative, masculine, singular. I've said this many, many times, that you have declension of nouns and adjectives. You have conjugation of verbs. But when you have a verbal adjective or a verbal noun, it has both the conjugation and the declension. That's the reason why this is a present active participle. That's the conjugation side. And then the declension side is nominative, masculine, singular. I don't need to go into all this, but I do want you to understand that this verse says, the one believing in the Son has life eternal. I could go through each one of those Greek words, but let me just stop to tell you. And you must realize, as I said at the beginning of this message, you are going to continue to live somewhere after you breathe your last breath. You're going to continue to live. If you're a believer, you're going to continue to live for millions and millions of years in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are an unbeliever, we have been able to see last Wednesday night that God is fair and just, and God has every opportunity to say to a person who says no to Him that you're condemned forever and forever and forever. You've got to see that, and you've got to hear Wednesday nights in order to understand that. The one believing in the Son has life eternal. But then we have a conjunction of contrast. But the one not believing, look at it. The one not believing, what? The Son will not see life. It's not an emphasis upon believing. It's an emphasis upon believing or not believing the Lord Jesus Christ. The object of salvation is Jesus Christ. So, the one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life. But, conjunction of contrast, but the wrath of God remains on him forever. Now, would you do me a favor? Please, please understand that mankind is a sinner. First of all, not because of what he or she does, but because of what he or she is. You're not a sinner because of what you do. You are a sinner because of who you are. You're born physically alive and spiritually dead. The psalmist in Psalm 51:5 says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." So we have an emphasis there. All of us have understood this. Adam is the federal head of the universe, the federal head of the human race. Adam, the federal head of the human race, sinned against God, and his sin was judicially imputed to the whole human race. Now, I can say this, and it can go over your head, and you'll miss it. But you have to understand that when you go all the way back to Genesis, you will discover that Adam and Eve, back there, had a choice. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam, who is the federal head of the human race, sinned against God, and as a result of that, his sin was judicially imputed, placed upon every individual in the whole human race. Jesus Christ saw it was necessary for him to leave heaven's glory, come down to the earth and die on the cross for the sins of the world, and that made for us a substitutionary atonement. In other words, Jesus Christ died in your place, in my place. You and I have nothing within ourselves that would bring us into the presence of God. There's no way that you can be saved by depending upon your own human activities. And so Jesus Christ said, "I will go to the cross and die for the sins of the world." I'm going to stop for a moment, and I'm going to ask you if you're thinking. Some of you, I can see right now, are not paying a lot of attention. And I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you cannot listen attentively and carefully, just be very serious and quiet. Because there are people in this auditorium today who want to hear every word that is being proclaimed from this pulpit. Not putting a feather in my hat, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you information now from God's Word, and everyone in this auditorium needs to hear this attentively and carefully, very carefully. Because I'm about to tell you some things you really need to hear. It'll make a difference in your life. Life eternal. Everlasting life. Understanding eternal life. This verse of Scripture, and I repeat, he that believes on the Son has eternal life. But he who does not believe on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Notice this next sentence. Our attitude toward Jesus Christ, belief or unbelief, determines whether or not we have eternal life. The Greek word that I mentioned to you a few moments ago is the Greek word pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. You can see it on your insert there today, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. It's in the present tense. It means that the very moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were given eternal life. The Greek word pistuo in the present tense means you have eternal life the moment you believe, and you continue to have that eternal life throughout eternity. A person has eternal life the moment he believes or she believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means that that person has accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Eternal life, you notice now, is imputed to the human spirit. A few moments ago, I showed you that Jesus Christ had body, soul, and spirit. Since Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, virgin conceived, virgin born, Jesus Christ did not have a sinful nature. When you and I were born physically alive, but spiritually dead. So we had body and soul, but we didn't have the spirit. We could not comprehend spiritual things because we didn't have the means, the ability to understand spiritual things. But when we accepted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit worked the miracle of regeneration, and that meant that we were moved from dichotomy, body and soul, to body, soul, and spirit. So eternal life is imputed to the human spirit, which is created for you by God the Holy Spirit at the point of regeneration. Should I just stop and let you think with me for a few minutes quietly? Because I'm aware of the fact that many times preachers say things and you're saying to yourself, I would like for him to let me think about that for a few seconds. I'd like to understand what he's saying. Well, please now go with me slowly. Three categories of eternal life. We're going to look at these slowly. For the believer who dies in time prior to the resurrection, there are three categories of eternal life. Now, I want you to just listen to this and look at it. For the believer who dies in time, we've had loved ones to die in time. Prior, of course, that's prior to the resurrection. This is understood. I just want you to see it. I'm trying to paint a little picture for you. The believer who dies in time, that's prior to the resurrection. There are three categories then of eternal life. Let's look at this one by one. Number one, the believer has eternal life while living on this earth, having now both earthly and eternal life. This is so simple, but yet so profound. All of you who have been born again, you're still alive, you're still on the earth. As a result of having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, right now, you're living on the earth, and living on the earth right now, you have earthly life and eternal life. Do you realize that? Every person in this room who's been born again, you've been saved by the grace of God, right now, you have earthly life and you have eternal life. Now let's look at number two. The believer has eternal life after death while living in heaven and waiting for his resurrection body. Now you need to write that down and think about it. The believer has eternal life after death while living in heaven and waiting for his resurrection, her resurrection body. So we can classify that as having both interim life and eternal life. Some of us have had loved ones to pass away. My mother, my dad, Joyce's mother, dad. Loved ones. You've had loved ones to pass away. They're not here now in this body. But I want you to see that they have eternal life after death. They're living in heaven now, and they're waiting for the resurrection body. How beautiful that is. So this can be classified as having interim life and having eternal life. I'm giving you time to think about it. It's very powerful to think these things through. Then look at number 3. The believer has eternal life forever. And in a resurrection body, which is resurrection life and eternal life. Now let's look at number 3. The believer has eternal life forever in a resurrection body, which is resurrection life and eternal life. If you're thinking, you're seeing the steps that I've given you are so fantastic. There will be a day when you and I, at the time of the rapture, the end of the church age, the body of Christ is taken, and individuals at that time will be the recipient of a resurrection body. That's number 3. The believer has eternal life forever in a resurrection body. Now, some of you are asking me, not out loud, what kind of a body is that going to be? Well, let me tell you something. I don't know. But I do know that the Bible says that we're going to be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. So I conclude from that since he has a resurrection body, we're going to have a resurrection body that must be similar to his. Are you listening? Are you hearing that? So this says the believer has eternal life forever in a resurrection body. At the close of the church age and the rapture, we're going to be the recipients of resurrection bodies, which is resurrection life and eternal life. Now do me a favor. When I'm studying and when I'm trying to think of how I need to get things over to you, what happens is I type things out and I think about it, and then I conclude about that which I've concluded. Do you follow what I'm saying? Look at this next paragraph. Those believers of the rapture generation who do not die physically have 2 categories of eternal life. Now, I know that all of you are chicken, and you'd rather, along with me, you'd rather for the rapture to occur and not have to die. So I'm going to just identify with you and say it would be wonderful if the Lord took us home and we don't have to die physically. But that may or may not be true. The Lord may, just like some of our loved ones who've already passed away, we may have to face that time when we're departing from this life physically. But look at this. If during our age, the church age, the rapture should occur, those believers of the rapture generation who do not die physically have 2 categories of eternal life. 1, temporal life plus eternal life. That's what we have right now. We have temporal life. We have eternal life. We've already said that. But look it. It's resurrection life plus eternal life, which says that each category of eternal life reveals a new aspect of God's integrity and plan. The more I think about this, the older I get, the more I feel like I need to bear down on people whom I love so dearly and say these things over and over and over again. Because there's a possibility that you need to think more seriously about it than you have in the past. Do you see what I'm saying? All right. Each category that I mentioned to you this morning, each category of eternal life reveals a new aspect of God's perfect integrity and God's perfect plan for my life. Oh, my. In other words, what we're seeing here is there is a body for each stage of eternal life. There's a body. You're living in a body. The real you is not your body. The real you is your eternal soul. And as a saved person, the real you, when that body goes back to ashes, to dust, you, the real you, is going to depart from this life, and you're going to live with the Lord as a born-again believer in His presence forever and ever. Soul and spirit, not the body. So each category of eternal life reveals a new aspect of God's perfect integrity. There is a body for each stage of eternal life. If you go back and look at your notes and see what I've gone through with you, temporal life plus eternal life has the body of corruption with the old sin nature. That's where we are right now. Let me say that again, and you think about it. We have temporal life right now, plus, as a believer, we have eternal life right now, but we're living in a body of corruption with the old sin nature. Please don't tell me that you don't have an old sin nature, because I can tell you that you and I have an old sin nature. And it's the old sin nature that continually gets you and me in trouble. We're tempted on every hand. We make decisions whether or not we're going to yield to the temptation. The temptation itself is not the sin. But when you and I are faced with the old sinful nature's temptations, and we say yes to that temptation, that's when we are knocked out of a wonderful, unique, divine power sphere. Though saved, still saved, outside of the divine power sphere, we're under the control of our sinful nature. All right. The temporal life plus eternal life has the body of corruption with the old sin nature. Now look at this. The interim life plus eternal life has the interim body, which experiences no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no old sin nature, no sickness. If you had a loved one to pass away as a believer in Jesus Christ, you put it down that the Bible emphasizes the fact that they, and I don't understand it all, but they're living now in some type of an interim body. And it has no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no old sin nature, no sickness. And in this interim body, the Bible reveals that you are recognizable. This is the body you occupy while awaiting your resurrection body. And you need to write these scriptures down, 2 Corinthians 5:8 and Revelation 21:4. You need to write those down, and I'm not going to read them, because if I read them, then you wouldn't be going to the Bible to read them. Please don't do it right now. But anyway, write these down. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Revelation 21:4. Notice next, the interim life and eternal life stage makes no distinction between winners and losers in the Christian life. Whether you are a victorious believer or not a victorious believer, what I want you to see here is that you're going to have a life continues, and there's no distinction between whether you're a successful or a defeated believer. In other words, as a believer who's not right with God, you still go to heaven, and there will be, I believe, sublime happiness for everyone. But there's a difference between what takes place at the judgment seat of Christ in relationship to rewards. So please don't continue in your thinking that I'm saying that every believer is going to go to heaven, and they will, but they're going to be receiving the same rewards as every other believer on the earth who served God faithfully through the years on the earth. Now, if you heard what I said, you'll have to understand what this point is all about. The interim life, eternal life stage, makes no difference between winners and losers in the Christian life. In other words, sublime happiness is for everyone, a winner or a loser. Then notice, this gives the greatest comfort to loved ones at the time of a funeral service. Losers and winners have it just as good in heaven in the interim body. We're not talking about rewards now. We're talking about sublime happiness in heaven. Look at the next statement. Resurrection life plus eternal life has a resurrection body. Therefore, eternal life exists in two or more categories of life. The person who does not die experiences two categories of eternal life. The person who does die experiences three categories of life. I'm going to look at you and ask, are you paying real close attention? This is so neat. Wonderful. A person can obtain eternal life only while he or she is on the earth alive. You don't get eternal life after you die. If you don't get it now, you're not going to get it. A person can obtain eternal life only while he or she is alive on the earth. A person cannot get eternal life once he or she dies as an unbeliever. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, eternal life begins during a believer's lifetime. You don't wait until you die to get eternal life. If you've been born again, your eternal life has already begun. You cannot get eternal life in eternity. You have to get it now. Eternal life belongs only to the believer. The three categories of eternal life never and will not, do not apply to the unbeliever. Because the scripture says, if you have life, if you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. Eternal life belongs only to the believer who is never without a body. You have a body now. You're going to have a body when you die. If you die during this time before the rapture, you have a body. I don't know what kind, but it's going to be a body, a recognizable body, an understandable, comprehending body. So you have eternal life belongs only to the believer who never is without a body. You always have a body with your eternal life. Wow. Do you see this verse of scripture? The one believing in the Son has life eternal. But the one not believing the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Oh my, folks. This is powerful. This is so very, very important. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the time that we've been able to be together today here, opening our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. We're thankful for salvation. We don't deserve it. We cannot work for it. We cannot pay for it. It's a gift. And years ago, I personally accepted that gift as a little boy. And I'm thankful that you came into my life and saved me by your grace. We're thankful for every believer in this auditorium and every believer who hears this voice today. Many, many people hearing this voice have already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. But on the other hand, there may be many who yet have never accepted Jesus Christ. Oh, how sad. But they can do something about it. Right now, they can accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So this tells all of us that there's only one way of salvation, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. This is so magnificent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Not hope so or maybe so, shall be saved. We pray that right at this moment, there will be many who will pray this prayer and ask you to come into their lives. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that now. We thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.